So maybe you could condense his work down to 2 or 3 minutes and talk about where we are right now with CAR-T and ALL, which sounds like it's about to get approved.
Yes, finally. So, you know, the CAR-Ts were really rapidly developed. There was a lot of trepidations and tribulations going over the first generation, second generation, third generation. But we now have a couple products that look like they're likely to get approved this year. In fact, ODAC just voted unanimously to approve the CTL-019 component, whatever you want to call it, for pediatric patients. Of course, we don't know exactly what the upper age limit's going to be. Is that pediatric 18 and under, 21 and under, 25 and under? There's likely to be a cap. It's likely to be only in a handful of centers, mostly very large volume pediatric centers. I know that's the way it is going to be in Boston, but this is historic. It's going to be reserved for a third or greater relapse, at least initially, while the toxicity can be played a little bit down. But the pediatric patients who have relapse refractory leukemia, especially third or greater relapse, we haven't seen responses like this ever. And so to be able to get these CAR cells into the hands of multiple patients is just extraordinary. There's going to be more CARs coming down the road, but at least this is the first approval that we expect to see in a few months.
Can you comment a little bit about what's been seen there in terms of cytokine release and also the neurologic syndromes?
Yeah, so this is blinatumab on steroids, so to speak. It's a logarithmic effect. And so these people can get very sick. And so what we've done is we have a whole team that specializes, and I know we followed a lot of what Porter did at Penn. We have a whole team that specializes just in CAR cells. So they get assigned to a different team. The physician has to be really on 24/7 beeper or access. We have the ICU notified, the neuro ICU notified, because these cytokine release syndromes can happen very, very quickly. And patients can go from being well to being in the ICU quickly. And so it's early recognition and early administration of steroids and another drug called tocilizumab, which can block some of this cytokine-mediated syndrome. The neurologic toxicity also, with really frequent neuro checks and making sure that everybody's on board so that if a patient has any hint of toxicity, you can intervene. But toxicities have been confusion, lethargy, seizure, and even the cerebral edemas that have been very rare, not seen in CTL-019, but seen in some other compounds that resulted in death. So we take this very, very seriously. That's why we have an isolated team, group of attendings, nurses that are all specialized in seeing these cases.
I mean, when you talk about early intervention, though, certainly in terms of supportive care, in terms of cytokine release, okay, you have tocilizumab and other supportive steroids, as you mentioned. I take it that that seems like it alters the natural history, but is there anything that alters the natural history of the CNS toxicity?
So that's been very difficult to study. You know, I think, and we're hopeful that by early intervention of the cytokine release syndrome, we'll be able to abrogate some of the later toxicity of the neurotoxicity. But that's not exactly clear, and more work's going to need to be done. We do know that early steroids, when neurotoxicity starts to develop, may be helpful. The tocilizumab may not be as much better for cytokine release than neurotoxicity. So your point is valid. We really don't know what intervention is best. These are rare but very serious events, and so the rarity makes it harder to study and to know what intervention. We've tried to have a blanket approach so that everybody's on the same page with these patients when they're developing or going through their CAR therapy so that we all know what to do and how to intervene. And we also manage them very closely with their ICU colleagues. So if there's any subtle neurologic changes, we move them to a more monitored setting so that, you know, the I's can be dotted, T's can be crossed in terms of the other supportive care management. We think that that also plays a big role.